very popular, supposed to popular trend is that this thing that you've done is not what other wants to do, but it turned out to be beneficial to you. Now imagine this. Just imagine your parents, in hope and pray that your parents will be someone who has, who have established a stable business. And the business have grown big and become a good company. And they have good number of loyal customers who come to them. And you are expected to be the heir. Ikaw magiging tagapagmana of that business. How would that be? Do you like that to happen? Then pray for your parents. Now, being the child of your parents, you grow up learning the trade. You know how to manage the business because you've been there on hands, helping your father, helping everybody, and you know, you learn how to manage it. We have a friend back in the Philippines. They are from the Chinese Baptist Church in La Trinidad. This pastor said before he came to be a pastor, said he used to be helping in washing the trucks of their company. He did not easily go to the office work. He started washing. He started carrying things that they may deliver in their business. And then until he grew up at a good old age that he was able to be the one delivering and then managing the business of their parents. But our friend, he heed the call of the Lord and become pastor of the church. So though he continued to help his parents. Now, if you were the one who have parents with that good business, would you not help your parents and continue to prosper the business of your parents? Because you know you will be the heir, ikaw ang tagapagmana. Or will you quit? Will you quit and find a more challenging career path of your choice? Because nagsawa ka na sa doon sa laging ginagawa. Simula ka nung bata, yun na lang ang ginagawa mo hanggang sa ikaw ay naging adult. And then, just want another career path. So that's the idea is you should become heir or you choose to another path. Here's another situation. And this very popular among us. You have a good paying job. You're employed. And you're doing great. Every day you go to work. No problem in the company. Progress is slow, but surely every year you have increase in salary, or sometimes when the right time comes, you are promoted in the company. But it's so slow. And the question is, will you quit that stable job and find a more challenging career path of your choice? Now, look, this both situation, one is heir and another one is a regular employee, both have a good, stable source of income. The challenge is decide to stay in your job or change career. Think about that. Will people of the people you know will they challenge your sanity if you quit a stable job, your stable job, and explore another career path? Will they think, oh, sayang. Dapat patuloy ka na, patuloy mong tulungan ng parents mo, for you will own that company later. Or keep on working in that company because someday you will become the manager or the supervisor or even vice president, or maybe you can start your own company when you learn the trade. Now, In Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, let's look at this. Let's read this. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in a boat with a hired man and followed him. Now Simon and Andrew were casting a net. It was not recorded if, although it says there in verse 18, at once they left their net. It appears like they are the owners of the net, but anyway, it implies that they were expert fishermen. They know how to fish. They can provide for their family. Fishing is a stable job. As long as there are fish, they have a source of income. Now, James and John, they were not casting net yet. They were preparing their nets. It was mentioned that they were preparing their nets. Now, not just one piece of net, but a number of nets that they prepare. So, if you look at it, it is while Simon and Andrew were already casting their nets, these James and John, brothers James and John, they are still preparing their nets. Why? Now, their father Zebedee may have established a fishing industry. When one name is mentioned in the Bible, that name might have been, it implies that that person is well known to the community. Because ito yung mga anak ni ganito ganyan, anak ni pastor yan, so they know pastor, but that the son did not know yet, something like that. So it kind of like Zebedee was more popular than James and John. And it assumed that Zebedee has this fishing industry. Why? Because he hired men to help. So fishing industry should have produced good income so that he can employ a number of people to help. You cannot employ people if you cannot pay them, something like that. So there are more nets that they are preparing because it's a bigger or mas malaki yung fishing industry of Zebedee than the normal net that the Simon and Andrew brothers were using. So look at this. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. They have stable jobs as fishermen, while James and John were heirs of fishing industry of their father Zebedee. Yet, when Christ called them, they left their source of income at once, immediately, and became full-time fishers of men. We can see here that there is a great practical transformation of lifestyle once we believe and follow Christ as our Lord. It may not be written, but neighbors of Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they might be thinking or being puzzled why they left jobs. At that time, in the time of Jesus, looking for a good stable job is not easy. It was tough times because it was a time when it's not a progressive time. And to have that stable source of income, this is a great life that one can have any time, in their time, and even in our time. If you have a good stable job, you can say life is great. But if you have a job, a shaky job, You do not know that when next year you will be laid off. That's not great. That's not great. You are always worrying about which job is next that you would apply in. In our generation, everyone may strive hard to secure a good paying job. You want to be employed in a job where you know there will be no layoff. You may not want to go to a job where you say, oh, this is high paying job, but maybe this is only for a season. So to quit a stable job just to serve Christ full time, this is not a very popular decision. So before deciding to join a full-time ministry, one needs to be assured of calling. The Holy Spirit will clearly tell if a believer is called to join the full-time ministry. When God calls someone to full-time ministry, there's no pressure. Walang tulakan. Walang, sige na. No, it's not. There's no doubt. Baka ganito, baka ganyan. There's no baka-baka. There's no what if you are called to full-time ministry. Instead, there's this empowering peace and joy to follow Christ. In a way, spreading the gospel is not limited to full-time ministry. The Lord has redeemed us from our old life to have new life in Christ. And with new life in Christ, we are conscious of what we do, full-time ministry or not. Why? Our activities, the way we live, our lifestyle, proves that Christ has transformed our lifestyle, old lifestyle to new lifestyle. So new life is intentional witnessing lifestyle. To be born again, you are aware that anything you do, anything we do, anything we say, the way we present ourselves, the way we dress up ourselves, speaks of our faith in Christ. One preacher said, I suppose his name was David Platt, the former president of Southern Baptist Convention in the U.S. He said, God has redeemed you to spread the Christian gospel and not to dwell in a Christian bubble. There are many Christians who live in Christian bubble. What is Christian bubble? They just want to stay in a Christian setting, kind of like, if, for example, you go and watch basketball at MTS, there's this basketball at MTS, and the Christian who live in Christian bubble would say, are they Christian? No, it's NBA, you know. The Raptors, they lost last night. Raptors. Oh, no, if they are not Christian, I would not go. Oh, kind of like that's living in Christian bubble. Or, oh, let's go MTS, let's watch the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets lost again. No, are they Christian? No. Oh, if you are Christian, I will go, but if not Christian, I will not go, something like that. So living in Christian bubble is not being involved in any secular groups, kind of like. Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Christ the Lord, Christ our Lord, takes care. He keeps bringing into God's family those who belong to him. Just like a little while back, our chairman presented James and Hannah. Because they belong to this family of God. Christ's care for his sheep, this is a great contrast of the character of Judah. Christ's care, Judah don't care. Judah, when he decided to ignore what he belonged to him, that was, he doesn't care what belonged to him. Judah sent a young goat to redeem his seal, his pledge, that the pledge was a seal, cord, and stuff from the woman. But when they cannot find her, he decided, forget about it, or we might become laughing stock. Let's read again verse 20 to 23. Meanwhile, Judah sent a young goat by his friend the Adullamite in order to get his pledge back from the woman, but he did not find her. He asked the man who lived there, "Where's the shrine prostitute who was beside the road of Enaim?" "There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here," they said. So he went back to Judah and said, "I didn't find her. Besides, the man who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughing stock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her." So when, for background, Judah found this found Tamar on the road to Timnah in the road of Enaim, and went to sleep with her. But before they went to he sleep with her, Tamar asked for a pledge. That pledge was Judah's the cord, the seal, and the staff of Judah. And she gave it to her in the promise that he will take them back as soon as he will send a young goat. But Judah failed to redeem his seal. He failed to redeem his cord and staff. So after they cannot find the woman, he quit searching for them. That's a very great contrast of not caring for his what belongs to him. As compared to Christ, he cares for his sheep. The woman who took them was nowhere to be found. People in the place where they met claimed there was no shrine prostitute. And Judah assumed that if he would search further, he might become a laughingstock if people would hear what he did. Baka marinig nila na ako'y nakasama ng prostitute and they will laugh at me. He might be thinking about that. Now, think about this. Have you made a terrible decision, but the outcome you expected is not what happened? And because of that, you feel like you just made yourself a laughing stock. I have many share of doing things, terrible things. And people would say, "Oh, you should have not quit. Why didn't you continue to study in this? Why didn't you continue to do this? Why did you quit? Why? And they think that I should have better future in that area. Have you done something like that? Judah had easily trusted anybody, which is good sometimes, but he trusted a Canaanite friend so that he lived with the Canaanite people instead of living with his family, with his brothers, he lived with the Canaanites. And the Canaanites may have been kind to him. Why would they be kind to him? Because they wanted to work for him. Judah can hire them to be his shepherds or take care of his properties. Judah entrusted his seal, his cord, his staff to the woman who disguised as prostitute, to a stranger he doesn't know. Hindi niya alam kung sino yung pinagbigyan niya. All he knew was he gave it to that person. Later, he realized that what he did could make him a laughing stock. After all, he said, he might be thinking, that's a big mistake. And Judah made a terrible mistake that he assumed to be an object of mockery after he failed to redeem his belonging. So he just decided, okay, just forget about it, just forget about it. Why? He wanted to save his face. He doesn't want to be laughed at. And many of us, if not all of us, we have made terrible mistakes that haunt us. Parang minumulto tayo. Have you done that before? It's kind of like you do something and there's this ghost running after you because of what you did. Do you worry that others may learn about your past mistake, what you did in the past, what you did the other day? Oh, I hope my friend would not hear about it. Have you done a terrible mistake that made you feel guilty or embarrassed if others will come to know? You wish your friend may not learn about it, or you are scared that others might blame you and say, oh, it's your fault. Many times, I don't know if you have done this, your mother came home, sino nagbasag ng flower vase, for example. And you know that you were the ones who have broken that flower vase and you were so scared to be blamed, right? Something like that. Or who broke that cookie jar? Kind of like, if so, you're kind of like facing a battle that you cannot win and you have no hope of victory if others will come to know that you have done a terrible mistake. But like we can learn from King David. In Psalms chapter 20, verse 6 to 9, it says, Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. In the time of King David, horses and chariots may have been the most advanced and progressive military acquisition comparable, maybe in our generation, missile or nuclear bomb or fighter jets. That could be, I don't know. But they are the most advanced military powers these days. And in the time of King David, if you have horses, you are more advanced than the foot soldiers. And if you have chariots, that is far better than sled, right? And many people in our generation are scared that nations with nuclear weapons will attack. A nation in the East may attack the U.S., but it might have been a little bit of error in the angle and it will fall in Canada. You may not know that. What if, this is another what if World War III breaks out and nations would use nuclear weapons? Have you think about that? Have you thought about that? Accordingly, nuclear is far worse than the atomic bomb. It destroys everything, not just humans, even living things, even structures it would destroy. Now, we can worry about our future, but worry cannot do anything to change a situation. Have you done that before? Have you proven that? If you can, you worry and the situation doesn't change, but we still worry. Why? Because we are humans. That's our tendency to worry. Worry about the future. This is why the Lord Jesus came to help us not to worry. He invites us to come to him, find rest in him. So instead of worry, we've got to be very sure that we have faith and that we believe, and believe that we really are redeemed by the blood of Christ. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What was the promise of God to Abraham? We can find that in Genesis chapter 12 if you want to research more. The Lord promised Abraham, if Abraham followed the Lord, he would promise him that he will be a blessing to nations. So to worry is not a blessing to nations. Now by faith, we trust that Christ has redeemed us from eternal punishment and give us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, as pledge that Abraham's blessing, which includes eternal life, might come to us, that we may become blessing to other nations, that we may become blessing to other people, to other group of people. Have you sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life yet? Have you? Have you received the Spirit of Christ? When the Holy Spirit bears fruit in us, the fruit of the Spirit is, can you recite that one more time? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Remember that. Remind yourself to remember that. And when the Holy Spirit bears fruit in us, we also experience partially a sense of life in heaven. That's kind of life in heaven. Anything you will do in heaven, there will be that love, there will be that joy, that will be that peace, no trouble, no worry. There's this kindness to everyone, there's this goodness to everyone that we experience while in heaven. So when we experience the fruit of the Spirit in us, we experience partially life in heaven. So don't forget, don't take it lightly. Make it sure that Christ's Spirit bears fruit in your life as a result of your faith in the Lord. Keep on praying, keep on asking God, Lord, I want to experience more of your Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, let the Holy Spirit produce fruit in my life. Keep praying, keep asking until you sense that the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If there's one prayer that you would like to pray every day, that is the kind of prayer that you would like to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in your life, so that anything, problem that may come, there will be no place for worry in your life. Why? Because your life is full of the fruit of the Spirit. For example, let's look at this. What could be a worst thing that may add in this flower vase that make this flower vase not very beautiful? What do you think? If you put here, what is it? A garbage. Is it possible to fit in garbage here? Can you insert more garbage in here? No, you cannot, because it's full of flowers, right? That's it. You cannot put garbage in here because the flowers are just, the flower vase is full of flowers. Similar to our life, if we are full of the Holy Spirit, worry, which is garbage, cannot find a place in our life. Now let's read again verse 24. About 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant. Judah said, bring her out and have her burned to death. Now, when Judah learned that her daughter-in-law is pregnant, he was very furious. He was very angry and wanted to burn his daughter-in-law to death. He wanted to burn her. Can you imagine that? That is a very similar reaction of many people when we commit terrible mistake, as if they want to burn us to death. Bakit mo ito ginawa? Bakit? 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 Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And you feel so little, and as if you want to die. kind of like. Many people are ready to condemn you, condemn us when we make terrible mistake. Making terrible mistake that cannot be reversed. Make us feel worry, make us feel guilty, make us feel embarrassed, or even it paralyzes us that we cannot move on, we cannot forget, and we just linger on and stay there. That's not the case of Christians. That's not the case of believers. We move on. Now, one of the greatest king of Israel, King David, he should have been living a very good life. He is powerful. He lived peacefully. And people praise him for the good things that he has done. And then he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he planned the death of the husband of Bathsheba to cover his adultery with her. And here comes the prophet, Prophet Nathan. And Prophet Nathan said, "You, David, committed terrible mistake." And King David responded in 2 Samuel 12:13. Let's read. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." Now, the wickedness of King David, why was it recorded? Many people, if you go to a funeral, you cannot even hear anything bad about that person who just done terrible mistake and killed by the cop. Says, "Oh, this person is so good. You know, this is a model citizen." And we hear very good things about people, but not with King David. His mistake was recorded. It should have destroyed all the good things that he had done. Why did God allow those terrible things to be recorded and for us to learn about instead of praising David? King David, he is not a very good king because he was adulterer, he was a murderer. Well, the Lord knew that King David was very repentant of his wickedness. When Nathan said, "The Lord has taken your sins away, you are not going to die," God readily forgave him. And this thing that happened to King David was recorded as object lesson for repentant heart. King David sensed that God has removed the guilty feeling caused by his wickedness so that he can move on, continue on his work as king. He was ready to move on without being haunted by his terrible mistake. David prayed in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 was the prayer of David after he committed adultery and committed murder. Let's read this. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." This was not only a record of prayer of King David, but it was a prophecy of what God wants us to learn from a repentant person like David. David's prayer explains clearly that if we confess, if we repent of our sins, God will blot out, he will erase all our transgression, iniquities, and wickedness. And the Bible says that if God has forgiven us, he won't remember our sin anymore. Everything that we confess, everything, any sin that we repented, God decided not to remember them anymore. They want God to renew you. They want the Lord to make your heart pure. They want the Lord to give you the joy of your salvation. Ask the Lord. He is ready to forgive. Willing spirit to obey God. This proves that our relationship with Him has been restored. Now, do you have that? Willing spirit to obey God. That is a clear, practical experience that God has forgiven us. So make sure that the Spirit of Christ, Christ's Spirit, make sure that you have as a pledge that you have been renewed by the Lord. The Lord gives the Spirit of Christ to us, to renew us. Now let's go back to our passage in verse 25 and 26. Let's read again. As she was being brought out, she sent message to her father-in-law. I am pregnant by the man who owns this, he said. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and stuff these are. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son Shelah. And he did not sleep with her again. Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, was accused of adultery. What she did may not be morally acceptable to everybody, but when she kept secure the pledge, the seal, cord, and staff of Judah that Judah gave her, they saved her from death. She came out righteous before Judah. Similarly, our terrible mistake may not be morally acceptable among other people, even other believers. They will look at us and look at you and, oh, are you Christian? Why did you do that? And you feel guilty because of that. But God, when you repented of those terrible mistakes, has already decided to forget them. He has already forgotten them. Amen. When we repented, people may still find fault, make us feel guilty or embarrassed. But in Christ, we are righteous before God. Are you righteous before God? Do you feel righteous before God? If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if the Spirit of Christ is in your life, you stand before God, think about God, you are standing before Him, and say, He would say to you, my son, my daughter, you are righteous. Because the Lord cannot see, cannot remember the sin that you repented. Instead, He is looking at you dressed in righteousness of Christ. We claim that promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. It says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ to give us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As we reflect on Christ's crucifixion, His death, and His resurrection, we are reminded that Christ reconciled us to God. We have been born into new creation belonging to God. Our name has been recorded in the Lord's book of life. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, let's read this. Nothing impure will enter it, that's heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful and deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So if nothing impure can enter heaven, and we as believers of Christ, we have hope to enter heaven, does it mean that we are already pure? In a sense, we are. In a sense, we are perfect, but not yet, not yet. By faith in Christ, we hope to enter heaven one day, but as long as we haven't entered heaven, we haven't entered heaven yet, we still have this tendency to commit mistakes, commit impurities before the Lord. But do you know for sure that you will enter heaven when God's right timing comes? Do you have that surety? Do you have that certainty? Have you received the seal that guarantees, seal from God that guarantees your eternal life yet? It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, let's read this. And you have also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Do you sense the presence of the seal, the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you sense it? Has the Holy Spirit produced fruit in your life yet? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, help us know that we are sealed and made certain that we are righteous before God. The seal, the cord, the staff of Judah that Tamar received as pledge, this became proof that what she did may have been morally unacceptable to others, but they certainly prevented her from being burned to death. Now, if the past terrible mistake that you have committed before keep on haunting you, keep on trying to disturb you, keep asking the Lord that you, the Holy Spirit in your life would produce more fruit, produce more fruit. Judah considered Tamar, her daughter-in-law, as a righteous person. And eventually Tamar gave birth to twin brothers, as recorded in the scripture. Let's read again verse 27 to 30. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread, tied it on his wrist, and said, "This came out first." When he drew back his hand, his brother came out. And she said, "So this, how you have broken out?" He was named Perez. And his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out. And he was named Zerah. Now, sinong panganay? Was it Zerah who had the scarlet or Perez? Kind of like this, I'm coming out. No, I'll go out first. And Perez came out. Scarlet thread that the midwife tied around the wrist of the firstborn baby was very significant. It served a sign for them to record who came out first. But Perez came out first. The child who was born first gets the double portion inheritance, the right of the firstborn. Anyway, the name Perez means breaking out, and the name Zerah means brightness. Perez became the firstborn, although Zerah wanted to come out first, but Perez break out and maybe he pushed his brother aside and he wanted to come out first. And Perez, the firstborn son of Judah with Tamar, became great-grandfather of King David. Great-great-grandfather of King David, who was also an ancestor of human Jesus. Now look at this. Did God approve this morally unacceptable activity of Judah so that Perez was included in the genealogy or in the ancestry of human Jesus? God could have chosen the brother of Judah, Joseph, Judah to be the direct ancestry of Jesus, because Joseph was more righteous than Judah. Joseph was very faithful. I was thinking about that. Why Judah was not very faithful? Or God could have designed Shelah, the youngest son of Judah, with his wife, right? Why did God choose Perez, Judah's son, with his daughter-in-law? And although Tamar was a Canaanite woman, she turned out more righteous than Judah. And Judah himself said it. She is more righteous than I, Judah said. This is not to promote activities, all right? This is not to promote activities that are morally unacceptable, not acceptable to believers. But it is meant to teach us that God sees beyond our sinfulness if He chooses anyone to be His instrument to accomplish His purposes. Tamar was not pure Israelites, but she served as God's instrument to accomplish His purposes. So any of us here can be God's instrument. When everything has been said and done, ask yourself, have I done what the Lord wanted to accomplish through me? Did I serve the purpose of Christ? Have I testified about the transformation that Christ has done in my life? It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they have done, as recorded in the books. Apostle John, the beloved disciple, was given this privilege to see and record things that were about to come in the near future. And he testified that everyone, great or small, will be judged according to the activities recorded by the Lord. And we are reminded to be mindful that everything we do has been recorded as basis for God's judgment. Lahat po ng ating ginagawa. Did you know that everyone in heaven will know how much righteousness a believer has done? Malalaman nila kung gaano karami ang righteousness na gawa mo. Each believer will be given bright, fine, clean linen to wear in heaven during the wedding dinner of the Lamb. Maybe if we receive long or short linen, it all depends upon the righteous acts that we have done on earth, while on earth. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 9, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Now, ask yourself, will I be rejoicing before the Lord eternally? Will I be wearing long linen and just mini linen during the wedding supper of the Lamb? In a wedding, in an occasion, special occasion, people would look at the person who has very short dress, perhaps. But in heaven, the person who has very short linen might be hiding at the back. Instead, the person who had long linen would just be parading confidently. And people would say, oh, how I wish I would like to wear that. Think about that. It says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's people. That is just my interpretation. I didn't learn that from the seminary. But think about that. It's just a practical imagination. But it could be. There's no envy in heaven, but how you wish you would have done more. the wedding of the Lamb, this is a grand celebration for all believers to be welcomed into the family of God. The question is, will you be there? Make it sure before it's too late. Make it sure before it's too late. Shall we stand up? And just close your eyes, think about it. Search your heart. Do you still have any doubt if you will be attending the wedding supper of the Lamb? Will you be in heaven? If there's still doubt, ask the Lord to fill you, increase your faith in Christ, to trust Him, and take that doubt away. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and let that the fruit of the Holy Spirit grow huge in your life, so that no place in your life, no worry can enter your life, no doubt can enter your life.